Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Perseverance in prayer. Perseverance in prayer. And let's look at Luke 18, verse 1. Luke 18, verse 1. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Quickly now, Luke 18, verse 1. It says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always pray and not to faint. This was the purpose of the parable, that men are supposed to pray." Are you seeing that? If you're a man. And of course, a lady. This is something you ought to do. It is not negotiable. So if you're saying, "I can't pray," you're setting yourself against God's word. You say, men are supposed to pray. And what? Not to faint. And while it's nice to say not to faint, it actually really connotes not to give up. Don't stop praying. It says men are supposed to pray. That's number one. And they are supposed to not give up when they pray. So, you know, listen to what he's telling you that is not very obvious. He's saying that when you pray, there's a tendency to give up. There's a tendency to quit, to say, "I'm tired." But he's telling you what you are supposed to do. So don't feel bad. Maybe you've been asking God for something. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And it seems like it has not fully come to fruition. And you feel like quitting. It's a feeling. But you are not supposed to quit. It's telling you that it is not something to condemn yourself over. It says men are supposed to pray and not to give up. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So it brings your mind to perseverance in prayer. You continue praying. You continue praying. He said, "When the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth?" Yeah, he's not talking about faith to move mountains, because the parable was about prayer. He said, "Will he find people who have not given up, but they keep on in thanksgiving, in praise?" Learn from Paul. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. You learn consistency in prayer from Paul. So don't say, "You know, I'm tired of this praying. I'm tired." He's telling you it can happen. You can get to a point where, you know what? But he says you are not supposed to give up. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
You are supposed to pray and not to give up. Look at Paul. He says, Apostle Paul, he's talking to the church, says, "Cease not thanks for you." It takes some boldness to say, "I'm not ceasing. I continue." You know, at times I go say, "Pray for me." You pray for me once, twice, you've tried. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Now I'm going somewhere. This is just preamble. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." It says we don't stop. So Jesus said it. Paul is saying it. Jesus said it. Paul did it. Are you seeing it? You don't stop. You keep praying. You don't get tired. Physically tired, mentally tired. You continue. He's telling you it is possible. You see, Jesus gives you his word to prepare you. He's telling you what is possible. He's telling you what to do. Ensure it is not possible in your life. He says you don't stop. Oh, you keep praying. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise
the Lord. To effect changes, you are supposed to pray and not get tired. No, we say something, "I love to pray." Come on, say it, "I love to pray."
I love to pray.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, while we're praying, the first 15 minutes, we were really kabashing everywhere. Then the next 30 minutes, start wondering, we are still continuing. Then when Pings was done, PK came. Then Okwe, some people didn't know Okwe was to lead worship. She started again. But I love to pray. You see, you tell your body how to behave. I love to pray. Praise the Lord. Because that is me setting myself in the Word. Jesus said, men are supposed to pray. Once Jesus said it, then I accept it. I'm supposed to pray. I might not feel like it, but I'll do what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to pray and not faint, not give up. Now, I want to bring your mind to something, all right? At times, to effect changes in your life, maybe you've been praying for a while, and there are many things you could want, you know. You want, let's see now, at times you're thinking, you require cash, what you want to eat, do you understand? What you want to wear, thinking about tomorrow, so many things to pray about. So we say, men are supposed to pray and not to faint. You're wondering, how many things am I praying about that I'm not supposed to faint about? Well, through the Word of God, you realize that there's one thing you can focus on, and every other thing will be settled. And that is one of the most beautiful things in God's Word. He always tells you the one thing, not many, right? One. Jesus is the way, only one way. Then he tells Martha, you are cumbered about many things. One thing is needful. So he doesn't get you busy about many things. No. When you think about all the things you want, finances, health, family, joy, all of that, there's one thing you can focus on and not stop praying about. Are you in this place? And persevere there, and every other thing will be taken care of. Go to Matthew 6. Verse 25. Because at times it is somehow when, imagine now we say men are supposed to pray and not to faint, and you've been praying for 2 years for 20,000 naira. Firstly, that's strange. Are you in this place? So he brings your mind to something greater. When you hear supposed to pray and not to faint, there's something your needs. Do you understand? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 6:25. Jesus is talking. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Oh, hallelujah. Did you see this? You know, at times you might think this is just a joke. Just one of those things. No. He said, take no thought for your life. What you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Now, Jesus is the mind of God revealed to us. That means God has taken care of everything. So don't think about it. What you can eat or what you want to eat, he has settled it. He's a good father. Go to verse 33. Or 31, sorry. Now you've gone ahead of me. 31. He says, therefore take no... So he's continuing that thought. Therefore take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or where shall we clothe? Verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first. So he doesn't tell you to stop seeking. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
So when he says men are supposed to pray and not to faint, yeah, he doesn't tell you to stop seeking. He tells you what to seek. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then seek the other thing second. Is that what he said?
Ooh.
Come on, are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things. Meaning you can set your gaze, set yourself, focus on one thing. In your praying, in your perseverance in prayer. Set your mind on one thing. Every other thing shall be added. Doesn't mean you can't go and look for those things separately and find them. He's the one that says, seek and you shall find. But why get busy when you can focus on one thing and get every other thing? Are you in this place? Yeah. So he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. And in prayer, he gave us a pattern, but I want to bring out one point. Verse 10. Quickly now. Verse 10. Matthew 6, verse 10. It says, when you pray, pray in this pattern. That means this should overwhelm your prayer. Do you understand?
Yes,
it says, thy kingdom come. Remember, I told you to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now it says in your prayer, say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So you persevere in this prayer. And when you do, every other thing you require, good grades, good future, good family, it says will be added unto you. Or you seek the kingdom of God. Is Jesus your king?
Yes,
he is. He is your king, right? He wants to have a heart for his kingdom and his will being done on the earth. I ask, is he your king?
Yes.
Some people don't know. Is he your king?
Yes, my Lord.
If he's not your king, then you are not born again. Because to be born again, he says, you declare with your mouth the lordship of Jesus. You declare that he is your Lord, he is your master, he is your king. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Say, Jesus is my king.
Jesus is my king.
He is my Lord.
My Lord.
He is my master.
My master.
The song we sing, Master Jesus, you are the pillar. You don't know the song. Master Jesus, you are the pillar that holds. So he's your master. So you see, his kingdom has come in your life, in quotes. His will has been done in your life. Then you move beyond yourself, in your family. Is it a king in the life of your siblings? If it's not, then you ought to pray and not stop. Are you seeing that? That's your focus. He brings your heart away from, because I told you, Luke 18 says, men are supposed to pray and not to faint. So you can think, oh, I'm supposed to pray for what I'm supposed to eat. I'm supposed to pray for what I'm supposed to wear and not give up. Then he brings your heart out of that and says, no, seek the kingdom. And all the others will be added onto you. So you think, in my life, is the kingdom real? Yes, how about my siblings? How about my parents? Is that real? No, then I'll seek the kingdom there. I'm going to pray. I'm going to persevere. Are you in this place? And then, if your family is settled, how about your office? How about your neighborhood? How about your compound? So he expects you to pray. He expects you to continue praying, but not for your needs. But your prayer, your heart, should be geared towards his kingdom. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
One more thing. You know, God's kingdom was prophesied about in the word. And he shows us the potential of his kingdom. Go to Daniel 2, verse 31. Daniel 2, verse 31. Now, Nebuchadnezzar the king had a dream. And I want us to really be fast so that we can pray. He had a dream, all right? And he called for Daniel to interpret the dream. So let's just go into it. 31, look into the screen. It says, Daniel is talking about the dream. He's telling him the dream. There's going to tell him the interpretation. He says, thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and thereof was terrible. 32, let's be really fast. Pay attention. Pay attention. He says, this image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass. Verse 33, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest still that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces. Verse 44. The interpretation of the dream. 44. He says, and in the days of this king shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. That is our kingdom.
Yes.
Are you in this place?
Yes.
He says, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. That is the potential of our kingdom. That means that if the kingdom of God comes into a home, comes to a man's life, it breaks in pieces ungodliness. Are you in this place? Breaks in pieces ungodliness. And that man's desire. My point is, look at how the description of God's kingdom. God's kingdom is supposed to take over. Take over the hearts of men. Take over the community. Take over your home, your family. That is what God wants. But it's not happening in all ramifications. And so Jesus said, you're supposed to pray and not to stop until you see it happen. Even though God wants his kingdom to take over everything. Are you in this place? I told you, he can't do it without us. Number one, he gave the authority to man. Like I said, even if the landlord wants to upgrade a house, he needs the permission of the tenants to do it. So even if God, the Bible says the whole world lies in wickedness, and God brings his goodness, he wants the kingdom of God to take away that wickedness, he needs man to invite him via prayer to do it. And so instead of focusing on all your needs, what you want, and all of that, put your heart where God's heart is. You pray according to God's word, that his kingdom prevails. Are you in this place? You pray according to God's word that his kingdom prevails. So when you get concerned with the things God is concerned with, then everything you are concerned with, he will take care of. I told you guys in Matthew 10, something very interesting. I was and pray. In Matthew 10, Jesus sent disciples out to go preach. In Matthew 11, he went to their cities. So while they were concerned about other people, his kingdom, he was concerned about them and their people. And he told us in Luke 10 and Matthew 10, he says, the laborer is worthy of his hire. That means if you labor in prayer, you are worthy of your hire. He will reward you. Are you in this place?
Yes.
But your praying should not be for your needs. He's taking care of that already. You pray for his kingdom. You are supposed to pray for God's kingdom to be established, the frontiers of his kingdom to prevail in your world. And so we spend time praying the next few minutes for souls, winning souls. No, it's something you are supposed to do. And if you're supposed to do it, you do it. Are you in this place?
Yes, sir.
And you don't get tired. You don't get tired. You train yourself that way. You are supposed to do it. At times I just think there are people who might not pray for souls because they have so many concerns. And I keep asking, all the time you have been praying for these concerns, nothing has really happened. So why not change that? And do God's things God's ways. He says, put his kingdom first in your prayer list first. Then there will be no number two. Every other thing will be added onto you. And while we are praying, you know, you can spend time praying, and you're just wasting time because it's not heartfelt. There's a heartfelt prayer of a righteous man that causes changes. So, as we pray the next few minutes for souls, put your heart there. It is something you are supposed to do. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Maybe you have rent to pay, you've not paid yet, or you have laptop to buy, you've not bought yet, or Forex has showed you win, or, you know, do you understand what I mean? Leave all of that. Put the kingdom first today. By the time you're done, every other thing will be settled.
Yes.
Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Every other thing will be settled. Are you ready to pray?
Yes, Pastor.
Say, I love to pray.
I love to pray.
Say, I'm supposed to pray.
I'm supposed to pray.
Have that mindset. Don't let your body rule you. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Don't let your body rule you. Rule it. You rule. It is your body. You rule. So when it's time, I know you've been praying, just sit down, put your heart there and pray. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So before we get into prayer, just go ahead and thank God for what you heard. Thank him because you're strengthened. Men are supposed to pray and not to faint. And you would pray and you would not faint.